My window's open.
We've seen it yell about shoving it up your ass and whatever you usually do.
Yeah, during the day, I feel like I can get away with that. Because,
that exhale
like,
that you just
home.
Let, Ken, that exhale was
peak. You know, you know, like, they're not home during the day, so, like, it doesn't really bother me. But at night...
I'm glad that they're not home during the day when you're screaming, fuck my ass with a... raccoon from Mars or whatever this shit you yell then you're
sir. I will have you know that I have never had those exact words fall out of my mouth in that formula, but they will tomorrow.
Yep. And I'll be like, I knew it, she did it too. She enticed me to make you be angry at her. She enticed me.
Well, on that note, welcome on in to the Murder Moose podcast, part of the Slash and Cast Podcast Network.
Podnest Cat Work.
It's in my ass.
It's in my ass.
It's in
anyway,
my ass.
Anyway, welcome. Hello. How are you guys tonight?
Super.
Super. Excited to be back. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I'm glad you were able to come back.
Yeah. Thanks for the invite again. I had a great time last time.
Yeah, okay, Rod, you're not a seal. Calm down.
I'm a super sea lion.
You don't know that he's not a seal.
That's fair. He could be, that. And I just don't. That's, you know what? That's a valid assessment. Listen, if you're a seal, tag us on Twitter and let us know.
Yeah, please listen.
And how long did it take you to balance balls on your face?
I mean, that didn't take very long at all. I just went, blop. And then I went, onions! And then we were here.
What are you drinking tonight, Ron? What are you drinking tonight?
Ron, how did you proof rum and pineapple juice?
Rum and pineapple juice. Oh,
I'm pretty jealous. I'm going in hard tonight. I'm drinking really, really strong shit, and I'm hitting up this water.
I haven't had a drink in a week and a half because the cold was so fucking bad that I was just like. Haven't had the ability to drink, and then I didn't want to fuck up my recovery, so here we are, and I'm mostly better besides being a little snotty, so
you're always a little snotty.
I call it bratty most of the time, not snotty. Okay. Like that. Yeah, but
sure. No, that's what I do. Joshy isn't here.
Daddy Joshy. Oh,
I'm drinking coffee.
As you should.
I mean, you're working night shift. That's why. I mean, you're like, you crazy.
Yeah, this
crazy.
Is like the, this is like 8 a.m. for me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, my dad drinks a cup of, my dad will like wake up in the middle of the night, drink a cup of coffee, and then go right back to sleep.
So your dad is ADHD and, like, you know. Early. I mean, what a shocker.
75 years old.
But
still hitting it. Coffee.
Wait a minute. What the fuck?
Coffee, I mean.
I thought I missed a segment of
coffee.
Oh, that's how your mom broke her hip. Okay.
That was, I set that up and I apologize.
You not only set that up, you were like, here's a fastball down the center of the plate during the home run derby. And I was just like,
so funny that you mentioned that. I had a dream last night that I was back in high school having to play softball again, and I didn't have a glove, and I was like trying to find one, and then the girls wouldn't accept me, and so there was an octopus. I don't fucking know, man.
So she used her vagina as a softball mitt.
Listen, softball mitt. You know when I have the best, like, no dream sleeps and I feel the best is when I'm high. When I'm not high, that's the shit I deal with. And I haven't been high in weeks, so.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I have to ask you.
Because I got sick. It is. Right? And I got sick and I didn't want to do it while I was sick. So thanks, Rod. Wait.
I mean.
No, I would have. Never mind. I was sick first.
Also, what does that have to do with edibles? I mean, you could still take an edible and.
Listen, your logic is nice and justified, and I did not think of that because, yeah.
Okay.
Kenny.
Does anybody, Kenny. I mean, I know people still smoke, but why aren't we past that yet?
What do you mean?
I mean,
smoking cigarettes?
It just seems, no, not cigarettes, weed.
Because people, no, because you talk to potheads, they like pot smoking way better than edibles because you can control it better. You're not as high as long. I sit in Classy Katie's stream for hours, and she, like, will sit there and nurse a bong all day long. And so it edibles, you get hit for 3-4 hours, and you're high. You can kind of control the flow of how high you are and for how long with that with smoking. Well, yeah, that's why they do that.
But you can control that with an edible too. You just don't take it much, right?
No, edibles are weird. One and two, they take.
I don't disagree.
They take 45 minutes to work, so it's like another element that's like, oh, I want to be high instantly. Like you have to like plan it. You have to plan with edibles. You're like, well. I got these 3 steps of like, oh, I could get these 4 things done. That's why those videos on like Instagram and TikTok exist where people are like, I played a game where I tried to change the tires on my car before the edible hit and did not work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so I like the guy that used to go running. He would take an edible and he'd be like, all right, I'm going to run until I'm high. And then he would run. And then at the end of it, he'd be recording himself. He's like, dude, I went too far. I don't know if I can get back.
I still think my favorite one is this black guy who takes an edible and he goes, I was just trying to go to Target. What are you white people running from?
Oh my God, I've seen that.
And yes. he's like, my car is a spaceship. And I don't know how to fly it. And it is one of my favorite videos of all time because when he goes, what are you white people running from? And just like, oh, a lot.
Apparently here they have like THC, almost like energy drinks. And I was like, that sounds terrifying. And they were like, you don't need to go near them. And I was like, don't you worry. Cause like one puff and I'm gone. Like goodbye. Okay. See, cause I don't smoke a lot, like at all. So they were like, yeah, you know, they, and I was like, that's wild. Nope.
A weed energy drink, a THC energy drink just sounds incredibly counterintuitive.
That's right. It's like going, I'm going to do my home defense by shooting myself in the forehead. Like, it was, like what? It is like, I don't know, man. Weed, when I used to do it, when I could do it, was I don't want to think and I want my brain to turn off. And using it like I'm going to go do my taxes is just like, doesn't sound like the best of ideas, but.
There's an awesome episode of Bob's Burgers where they go in to get their taxes done.
Yes.
And somebody sends them the edible cookies.
No.
Cookies.
It's their accountant does it on accident. Like, he makes
like high as fuck and like hiding under the desk. And
I love show so much.
It's so good. You know what? One of the things we tried to do for a long time, like while we were trying to convince Ken to watch Psycho Goreman, Josh had never seen an episode of Bob's Burgers, and we were trying very hard, and it never were able to convince him to watch Bob's Burgers.
Bob's Burgers is so good.
It is.
So is Psycho Goreman.
Yes, it is. And as Ken finally admits that she loves the hunky boys, but
the hunky boys.
Ken would rather be a pain in the ass than like do things that she would like.
Yep. Me. Hi.
It's Ken. Hi. She's the problem. It's her. It's Ken. Hi. She's the problem.
Oh my God.
It's her.
Speaking of problems, listen, I am not a Swiftie or any of that shit, but somehow I ended up on a Swiftie TikTok of her and the guy from the 1975 and their like 10-year situationship. And the whole time I'm watching this, I'm like, first of all, why the fuck am I watching this? And second of all, I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. I want to know more. And I was like, no, this is how they get you. Get out of this. Sorry. It links to the song you were singing. That's how the
I had to dodge Swifties on Saturday morning because it was record store day.
Yep.
And I went after work. I got off pretty early, like 2 a.m. and met up with a few coworkers, and we went to Denny's, ate some breakfast, killed some time there and bullshitted. And I got in line. The record store opened early. They opened at 7 a.m. I got in line at approximately 5:50. And the line was already down the block, wrapped around and down that block. And I was at the fucking end. Well, fuck, it wasn't the end after I got there because more people fucking came. Thank God. But yeah, it was so fucking long. And the vast majority of everybody that were there, they were there to pick up the Taylor Swift vinyl.
Yeah, because that shit came out on Saturday or whatever, Friday night.
Well, I think
Saturday
it actually dropped on Friday, but she, I don't know what happened. I don't know.
How come if I was going to do a Venn diagram of Swifties and vinyl heads, they would not overlap at all? And yet what you're saying is they do overlap?
They do, 100%, because she, I mean, I don't know. I don't listen to Taylor Swift's music, not because I hate her or anything like that. It's just not my vibe. All right. I picked up like the Asking Alexandria vinyl and like My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult and the Rocky Horror soundtrack. Okay. So like, cause they released special edition shit. And yeah, the Rocky Horror shit is the fucking coolest thing I picked up, because like what it is it's all just Richard O'Brien and an acoustic guitar, and it's just the demo recordings. And it's fucking
that's
rad.
Cool.
Yes, it's fucking rad. And then, like I said, the Asking Alexandria one was like a repress of their very first album, and it was all gold. Everything was gold on it. It was pretty cool looking. And then there, I spent way too much money. But yeah, I had to dodge all the Swifties and whatnot. But it was a good day. It was fine. It was cool. It was fun. And then I bought this dog.
You know what you reminded me of is that I forget who it was. I think it was Ludacris. I was watching Ludacris on Hot Ones. And
oh, nice.
Ludacris on Hot Ones wasn't as good as Conan O'Brien on Hot Ones, but it was still pretty good. And he was talking about how like before Ice Cube, you had to be a gangsta and you couldn't like talk about your feelings and shit. And then Ice Cube drops It Was a Good Day, and like everyone's like, oh, okay, you could like, you know, actually be a person and not just like talk about gangsta shit. West Side, I don't fucking know, but yeah,
nothing screams gangsta like Rod.
Yeah, Rod the Cod is so gangster.
Look at this! Look at how gangster I am! I got the tattoos. I got the. I mean,
you do got a few tattoos.
Just a couple.
Just a few.
Few
hundred.
I don't have as many as Ken and her.
Bullshit! You've got more than I do.
But I don't have a mop bucket tattoo.
That's right. I do.
I didn't even know you had tattoos, Ken.
I have 11.
Ken has the most random. Ken's tattoos are as ADHD as she is.
Oh, they are. Like one of my tattoos, I was with a friend and they were getting something. I was like, that looks cool. I don't know what it means, but I'll get that. And I was like, it doesn't have mean anything bad. And they were like, no. And I was like, cool, I'm going to get that too. Like,
Ken has a bee tattooed on her knee, the bee's knee. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit below my knee, so it's baloney. B-O-L-O-G-N.
Baloney.
Yeah. Ken, if you don't know this, if you've never hung out in Ken's chat, her like dad jokes are like a
peak.
No, they are a staple of the continual lifestyle.
Yes.
They are.
I like it when people come in and they're like, oh my God, I love your dad jokes. And I'm like, thanks, I stole it this morning.
After Ken fucked their dad? Is that what the joke was there? I mean.
That's actually really good. And I think I would like to do that. What do you call a sweet walking stick? A sugar cane.
That's fantastic.
Oh, I'm gonna go play in traffic now. Thanks, I'll be right.
What happens when a frog illegally parks?
He gets towed.
I love it.
There's
this what kind of shoes do what kind of shoes do frogs wear? Open toed.
Open toed.
Why does Darth Vader have an iPhone? Because he couldn't find the droid he was looking for.
Ah, beautiful.
That one I found on a dating profile and it stuck with me. I don't know why, but yeah.
Fantastic.
Yes. Okay. What do you motherfuckers been watching before we dive into Late Night with the Devil?
honestly, the Connors. they dropped them on Netflix, and I've been watching. Since I just put on season one to play. I've been watching. That's Connors, dude.
Dan Aykroyd still throws me off. By the way,
skinny John Goodman even.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Dan Aykroyd. What?
I don't know why the names in my brain.
Dan Aykroyd was on an episode.
Yeah,
that doesn't surprise me.
But here's why. Here's why I'm watching the Connors, because nothing puts a smile on my face like the thought of Roseanne Barr getting fired and probably saying that fucking show won't make it without me. And then 6 years later, it's still successful and everybody watches, and it's probably funnier without her.
100%. She's a giant dude. It's funny because like growing up, and like again, we went over this last week, but Brian's got like 7 years on me, but like it was like all the white trash TV that came out in the early 90s in like. You got like Married with Children and Roseanne, and they're both just like white trash being white trash as the whole concept of the show. And you're like, oh, and amazingly white trash guy from Married with Children turns into the guy from what was that show called? What's the show on ABC?
Roseanne? What are you talking about?
No, what the fuck is the show where he's married to Sophia?
Oh, Modern Family.
Yeah, Modern Family. Yeah, that's the one. I'm like, okay, you're not white trash anymore. Like you were on fucking Al on with Leela and all the shit and Married with Children, but yeah.
Okay, yeah, Katie Seagal did play Leela, didn't she?
Yeah, she's Leela, man. She's Leela.
Yeah. So. She's all sorts of things. Uh-oh.
And then you've got, in that same realm, you've got the shows that are supposed to be like really high tier, like designing women. And the only reason that popped in my head is there was a story that recently came out where Delta Burke was talking about that she was literally doing meth to stay thin, but she was considered the fat girl on the show. Anyway, super side note, but that's where ADHD is when you don't take your Ritalin for 2 days.
Okay, now this is going to be a side statement of what have you been watching. Ken, what have you been doing that you're not taking your Ritalin, you silly bitch?
I don't have a pill cutter at the moment, and I need to cut it in half because that's how I'm like extending it while I'm here.
Ken, I want you to do something, and I mean literally this second, not after the podcast. Go on to Amazon and order a pill cutter right now. And I'm just gonna
go to the pharmacy. No,
Ken, order your pill cutter now.
It'll take a week to get here. It's better just to go to the pharmacy.
God damn it, I forget you live in BFE.
Where's the nearest pharmacy? It's not next to the movie theater, is it?
No. Thankfully, there's one relatively close. Okay. But actually, I can walk to the pharmacy if I really want to.
So. What happens if you like have like, I just don't get it.
I
mean, what happens if you die? How do you get anything done if you die, Ken?
There's a small hospital like 45 minutes away, but the good hospital is like 2.5 hours away.
So I watched over the weekend, and it just reminded me of that statement. I watched Roadhouse over the weekend, and because they kept
the
going.
New one?
Yeah, there's a hospital 25 minutes down.
Yeah,
I want to say that whoever decided that, like, I guess whoever was directing that movie didn't have the heart. Or was too smart to say this, that maybe Conor McGregor shouldn't try to be creepy the entire movie because his like stupid smile that he had on his face the entire movie like was just like,
yeah, I kind of love it. I think it's funny. That was Doug Liman that directed that film, by the way.
Yeah, and I'm just like, dude, you're not like I don't that movie. Was terrible and entertaining at the same time. It is not a good movie. And because someone was saying something to me, they're like, "Oh, that's a bad movie." And I'm like, the original Roadhouse wasn't good either. I mean, you're not like, you're not throwing a thing out there.
Yeah, it's just, not like they tried to remake fucking Shawshank Redemption. I mean, yeah, Jesus Christ.
But I will say, Jake Gyllenhaal is Gyllenhaal, whatever your name is. Also,
Donnie Darko.
How big is that fucking dog, Brian? Holy shit! I just saw it. That's like
he's a pibble.
Like,
I have a house hippo. He's a house hippo.
It doesn't even look like a pit bull. It looks like a fucking like a mastiff or something like that. Because I see the
He's not that big. Yeah,
I see the cropped ears that make it look
yeah,
like.
Yeah, that's. I wish they hadn't done that to him.
Yeah,
but pit bulls are did.
Amazing.
Pit Come here, buddy.
Amazing dogs. If you don't know, if pit bulls with all the people. Aww. Oh my
I
god!
I love him.
How old is he?
He's about two.
I Aww. Love him, and he's a
he's
sweet
three-legged.
Man. Yeah, he's a tripod.
What do you just call him tripod?
No, I can't do that.
Why?
Because I can't.
Okay, just because you call me tripod because my dick's huge doesn't mean that you can't call your dick, dog tripod.
Yeah, it's like nobody. Why don't you go lay on the couch?
He's adorable and I love him. Yeah, I don't like the cropped ears, but he's still pretty.
I know. I wish I hadn't done that. Like I said, I just got him yesterday. And.
He's so loving.
Yes, he's a very sweet boy. He loves people. He loves all the people. Yes, he does. And he met my son today, and he met his fiance and my granddaughter. And all he wanted to do was just kiss on her feet and her hands. Yeah. So he's
I
a
love
sweet
it.
Boy. Yes. Okay, go lay down.
Okay, that's a good way to wrap up the bullshit part of this podcast. I mean, the bullshit part of the podcast is the entire podcast. But let us dive into the movie of the week, which we talked about.
Yeah.
Late Night with the Devil.
And so good.
Dude, I love this fucking movie. And I know Kim is
like my new favorite movie.
So good.
Dude, it just takes everything that's like a format that I love. I love late night television because
the pacing is so fucking good. Oh, sorry, Weasel. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it had to be because of the whole like, thing. I love that the whole incorporating the crazy society, the tall tree people. The cast is great.
David Dasmakian, maybe. I'm telling you.
2 weeks in a row with that man. And
yes.
He is wonderful. And it just is very much. Ken was trying to find, when we were starting up before you joined, Brian, she was trying to find a budget for the film and could not find one.
What I basically found was that for the visual effects, they were given $150,000 the visual effects. They had 300 visual effects, meaning about $500 per visual effect. And then one of the things that we kind of were talking about, well, actually, Rod, do you want to read the description of it first? And then I'll dive into one of the controversies.
Give me a second. The recording.
A live television broadcast in 1977 goes horribly wrong, unleashing. Okay, let's try that again. A live television broadcast in 1977 goes horribly wrong, unleashing evil into the nation's living rooms. I wanted it to be horribly awry so bad. But yeah, so we're talking about Late Night with the Devil, which came out originally in theaters and then moved over to Shudder. I think it's also on AMC Plus, but I could be wrong.
AMC.
I think AMC owns Shudder.
Shudder, so. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
But one of the things that, so I was really excited about it. I've been excited about it. I wanted to see it in theaters. I wish I could have seen it in theaters. But one of the things whenever it first came out was people started freaking out and they're like, oh, we shouldn't watch this because there's AI in this movie. So I was looking. And it looks like it was used very briefly on like just a couple placeholder cards. Mm-hmm. And like even artists are like, why are we upset about this?
It was.
They're like, there's no reason for people to be upset about this.
I think it was all the artwork.
It's like
with
a small group.
With the skeletons, which are on the backgrounds, like the doors and shit like that. But like.
Yeah.
But like someone pointed this out and it made me laugh because people were attacking this movie. While Netflix had a documentary series that just came out and they were using AI to make the person look different and look happier or something like that. And no one gave a shit because let's be real. You true crime motherfuckers are crazy. You true crime motherfuckers are crazy. And I'm saying that while a true crime motherfucker is in this podcast with me named Continue. But she knows.
I like true crime.
Listen, my true crime is primarily into conspiracies. I do like Last Podcast on the Left and Illuminati. Oh, actually, that David, the actor, did some interviews recently with Last Podcast on the Left on their TikTok and a few other places. It was really good. I love Last Podcast on the Left.
I do too. I do too.
I've never
hail yourself.
Podcast on the Left. I have to admit, I don't know. I think ever since the whole like COVID killed my podcast listening, like because I'm in the car way less than I used to be, and then like so like I listen less. Like although I did Katie Peters and her podcast. Katie hasn't seen that, as she's been on the season of like watching really great movies she hasn't seen, including. This last week she did Predator, and I was trying to inform her of all the things because she never talked about. I was like, Katie, did you know that Jean-Claude Van Damme was originally the Predator? And she didn't know that. She had no idea. But
yeah, you can find some pictures of him in that horrible alien design that they had before they changed it. Yeah.
It was way worse. But then the guy who was like, dude, I didn't realize because she talked about it on the podcast. I knew that the guy who played the Predator died real early. He like got AIDS from a blood transfusion.
Yeah,
that's what took him out. And you go,
yeah, it's wildly unfortunate. He did the first two Predator films and then died shortly after the second one.
I love Predator 2. It's a terrible movie, but I love Predator 2.
I love Predator 2 as well. It's got Gary Busey in it.
Gary Busey.
I want to talk about buttered sausage. Speaking of AI,
Gary
buttered sausage, is that your jam? I don't like jam. I like honey, and I kiss it on the lips.
That man was crazy before this stroke, but that stroke just made him like he is like the stereotypical conspiracy nut that we were talking about. Like that is just like, and it's like Gary Busey, you are bonkers, and I love you, but you're still bonkers. So yeah, all this. My whole point was I don't listen to nearly as many podcasts as I used to, and you guys in your Last Podcast on the Left is like, maybe someday I'll dive in. And
I'd love to listen to more podcasts, but I do have a hard time too because I changed jobs because I used to listen to all my podcasts at work, but now I can't listen to I can't put headphones in at work anymore because my job. I need to be because I'm driving, so I need to be alert and shit, and I don't want to like get fired. So,
well, dude, what do you mean you need to be alert? I've seen enough videos of forklift operators like ramming into giant towers and just not.
Yeah, and those guys are not forklift operators afterwards, Rod. You know, like that was their last time on a forklift.
But no, this movie I think does a really, really, really good job of like doing that 70s like vibe. And you guys might have noticed they do reference Johnny what do you call him?
Johnny Carson
like 8 bazillion times. And it made me laugh because another horror connection. Stanley Kubrick did not know what the Here's Johnny reference was when Jack Nicholson did it and still left it in The Shining. So that's
amazing.
Yeah. Because Kubrick was living in England when Johnny Carson blew up. So he didn't know anything about Johnny Carson. So, yeah.
You guys old enough to watch Johnny Carson?
Never watched him. Like
I never watched him.
My early intros to like late night were like Conan. So it was like Conan.
I watched Johnny's last episode.
What was dude with the face and the hair?
Jay Leno.
Yes.
He took over shortly after. If you want to use that as a use the face.
The dude with the face.
You say the dude with the
face. But you got it because I meant like the long face and then uppy gray hair.
You don't say face. You say the chin.
No, I'm sorry.
You say the
chin. That is the. I knew what she meant.
Yeah. That's
Well, it's because I could see she was doing.
That's
that.
Fair. That's fair. Get out of the bag.
You weren't just a bad guy stroking your goatee as you like devise your evil plans.
Gosh.
But like. Gosh. I feel it really feel like late night, like we're like Jay Leno used to do those newspaper things.
Monologues?
Like, no, the headlines.
Oh, yeah.
He would do the headlines, and those were like the like kind of my early intro into like late night shit. Like when you're starting to get to the point where you're old enough to kind of stay up and watch that shit. And then Conan and his insanity. I'm just like, I love this shit, and it's the kind of stuff that like I feel like I honestly think that like that all late night hosts now besides Fallon, because I don't think Fallon is funny at all. Like, is
you don't think Jimmy Fallon's funny at all?
Huh. I think he is my least favorite behind Seth Meyers. I am firmly behind Colbert. Kimmel's next, and I like Seth Meyers. I like Seth Meyers, but like I'm sitting there going, these three are funny. Fallon. I'm also a little bitter because they took late night away from Conan to give it to Fallon because their executives were insane. But like,
that had everything to do with ratings, my friend. Unfortunately,
I know, but they didn't.
I like Conan. I actually really do. I like him a lot. The people that watched The Tonight Show, that was not his audience, man. It wasn't a good fit.
I understand that.
It's unfortunate.
You gave Conan the show and then gave him no time to be Conan. And like,
I completely agree. Yeah, so, I completely agree. But at the end of the day, he was never a right fit for the Tonight Show audience. He really was.
And I think his show that he did on TBS was funnier anyways.
Oh, but, yeah, it was great. It was totally great. Yeah.
But
I agree.
All this stuff is just like, so I'm very like sentimental about late night shows. And so this show hits that. And, it's very much like of that time where it's completely embracing the satanic panic of the 70s like all that shit was happening. Yes. And it just uses that to do like, I mean, what, this is 77 in the movie, so you're kind of doing a lot of the stuff, and they do a lot of the stuff that, like, I really enjoy, that, like, with, like, they have their soup silly, like, co-hosts, they have, like, the audience, they have, like, all the stuff that like, I think is really good, and this movie just, like, it is, like, you can't call it a time capsule, but, like, a very much, like, homage to the 70s and, like, this kind of stuff, and I think it's just chef's kiss, right?
Oh yeah, for sure, man. They you captured okay there, it very well.
You okay there, Brian?
Yeah, I am. I don't know what's so funny, but whatever.
I you know what's funny is that I haven't had a drink in a week and a half.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're already pretty sauced.
I'm not sauced, but I'm like
a little sauced.
I'm what's the word I'm looking for? Relaxed. Relax. Don't do it. I don't know. I don't fucking know. Ken is like, yep, this is what Rod does.
Oh, well, that and Weasel's trying to get inside of the food bag, and I'm dying to make a cat's out of the bag joke, but she hasn't gotten in it yet, so I'm just waiting.
Weasel, like, every night is late night with the devil with Ken because she has to live with Weasel because Weasel is Satan.
We swap out right now when the cats are out and when they're not, because they're not all four getting along yet. And she will sit at this door and scream and dig. And we put this like clasp on it because we were like, oh, if we clasp the door open, they can smell each other through the clasp of the door and blah, blah, blah. Well, Stripes immediately figured out how to open the clasp. And so she plays with it all night and just sits there and meow, meow. Anyway, sorry, side note.
So I have to say, like, I guess that, like, everyone, like, when you went into this movie for the first time, were you, like, did this end up where you kind of assumed it? I mean, I kind of assumed this was not going to have a happy ending from the get-go.
Right. Because, yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
I didn't expect it to end well in the slightest.
I mean, and then, like, obviously, like, the key thing that, like, what, two-thirds in, I'm like, oh, yeah, definitely not going to go well is when they decide that sticking the sacrificial knife next to everyone was a good idea. And you're like, oh, that's going to go badly for the home team.
For the whole team. As soon as they pulled that out, I was like,
Ken, I have to ask next, what did you think of the Warrens joke in the reference?
I loved it. 10 out of 10. So good.
Brian, Ken has talked about, like, she's watched a lot of podcasts and listened to a lot of podcasts and watched a lot of stuff about the Warrens and how they were shit people. And like,
yeah, oh, like, yeah. I used to love them. And the more that I learned, the more I'm like, God, these people suck ass. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, they were certainly playing on people's fear, mm-hmm. you know, of that. And it was easy during that time. Too. It was very easy to play on people's fear of the supernatural and whatnot, and their fear of the devil and demons. Mm-hmm. It was easy. It was really easy during that time, and they made a fucking fortune doing it. Do I think they were bad people? Yes. Are they entertaining? Oh, fuck yes.
Yeah. They're entertaining. They're very smart. Absolutely. I mean, but that's like, that's in the same regard. And I, this is a very funny comparison to make. But again, I haven't been on Ritalin in a few days. If you think about what people define as booby streamers or cam girls, and they're like, oh, this is so awful, blah, blah, blah. They know what the fuck they're doing, and they're making damn good money doing it. So if you want to be the Warrens, then go for, I mean, look at Amaranth. She's a fucking millionaire.
Dude,
brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I would do the same fucking thing.
I want to be able to reach into my sock and pull out enough money to buy a gas station.
Yeah, dude. Exactly.
Dude, so, if I had titties like Amaranth and
I should be a ball streamer.
You should. Dude, just pull them out and dangle.
I should be a ball streamer. Yeah, just dangle the balls
right in front of the camera. Like, I'll like have a VTuber. Like a VTuber, but your balls do the talking.
What I'll do is I will have two cams. I will have the cam that points at the face, and then mm-hmm. I will have a chair that mm-hmm. has the center cut out a la mm-hmm. toilet style. I will stream pantsless mm-hmm. and just let the balls dangle, and I'll have a camera down there. Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck.
No, no.
Sold. Millionaire. I'm
about a Twitch partner in a week.
Even hell better. Yeah. I'm gonna paint my balls green. And then put the game on them, like this.
Oh, I wonder if people will come in and be like, did you know that the game is on your balls? Anytime that my hair is green, or if I have on a green shirt, they're like, oh, you can see your game in your hair, huh?
Can the amount of like people coming in and saying sexual things to you on a like a level that I'm like, but Ken doesn't show like her hands and her face are the skin that she shows, and I'm like, I
listen, every once in a while I wear a sports bra that covers everything and comes down to here, but I am quite the harlot with the shoulders.
Oh, Brian, how dare you,
Brian. There used to
Nancy
be this guy,
Reagan would be casting you right into the fiery pits.
Brian, there used to be this guy that came into Ken's chat who would tell her that she was like going to hell because of all these things, and then like Ken banned her for Ken banned him for a week because he was like, I think he crossed some line at some point.
No, so just... then we had to ban him a few times, and then eventually, if you ban someone so many times or time them out, their chats get restricted to where just you, the streamer, and the moderator can see what they say, okay. But the rest of the chat can't. And the shit he would say was so fucking funny, and it was like super, and like it shouldn't have been funny. I know it's not. It was super sexist. It was like, women go to the gym to be whores, and they shouldn't. And like, just the shit that he would say.
None of the women. And women don't care about their health at all.
It was great. Like every time, I would just keep him, and Pat would gift him a sub. He was subbed to the channel for like 14 months or some shit. But one day he came in and said that my ass was flabby on Fansly, and AJ banned him. He was like, nope, you're done. And I was like,
all of that shit about you going to hell.
Oh my God. I was always, he was the one who would be like, he was the one who would be like, a woman, if she has been with another man, means that her seal has been open, and sealless women are whores. And like,
was he the one who just used the like, if you come, a guy comes in you, like, your child will have
the telegraphy or whatever shit, yeah, or telegraphy or whatever. He brought it up once, and then I ran with it, and we discussed it for. He was great for conversation because chat couldn't see what he was saying, so he would say shit, and I would just be like, "Do I read that? Yeah, guys." And then I'd read it, and then we would laugh about it and move on. But oh, it was so awful. It was so bad. But he was a lot of fun.
It very much reminds me, like, because I have this, like, running theory that the Republicans in America in 2024 want America to be 1953 or Germany 1935, either or. They probably Germany 1935.
Six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Yeah. But, like, this movie and the panic of, like, this is even before, like, you know, we had the video nasty panic of the 80s and all that shit, but, like, very much America was, like, cults were doing everything and, like, blaming. And you had, like, what, like, Son of Sam and all that shit was happening. And, like, you know, it's, like, all, I mean, Amityville, was referenced in this movie. And you sit there and go, religion, yet again, gets taken and used in super negative ways. And then you have people like using it for their own advantage. And it's that kind of thing where this guy in the movie is, you're supposed to basically, I mean, you figure out by the end of the movie that he sold, I don't know if he sold his soul, but he was granted his power, like his fame. And then his wife dies of cancer because of it and all the shit that happens in like reference. But like, religion is not a subject that I'm a fan of, but like, it's very much using the devil. Also, side note, I'm like distracted again. Like,
side note of the side note?
The side note of the side note. Russell Crowe was doing a movie called The Exorcist or Exorcism, like, where he plays an actor in a movie. And I'm just like, you just did the Pope's Exorcist like last year. We just
That's
talked
okay.
about it.
He can do another one and he can do any. I'll watch it because the Pope's Exorcist was fucking awesome.
It was, dude. I will never not laugh. And one of the things we talked about, I don't know if you listened to the episode and we talked about that movie. I will never not laugh about the fucking movie's point that the whole Spanish Inquisition was because of someone being possessed by a demon. I'm like, this is the most bullshit thing of like, yeah, the Roman Catholic Church killed a whole bunch of people because they wouldn't like convert. And I'm like, no, our bad. That wasn't us. That was Satan's fault. He possessed someone. No, not our fault. Guess what? So, yeah. I mean, what is your guys' thought on like the whole like 70s and like the religious like kind of like panic of Satan and everything like that like was kind of like a big part of this movie?
Well, I mean, religion's always fear, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's the concept of most religions, at least.
Yeah.
Let me say this. Like, you know, from someone Western who was religions. Raised Baptist, your religion is God loves you, but he will send your ass to hell if you don't love him back. Like, you know, he will destroy you. Look at what he did to, you know, all of these different individuals in the Bible and everything. Mm-hmm. So utilizing it as a means of fear and as a scare tactic has been utilized for years. If I say utilized one more time, I want you to smack me in the mouth. The idea of just possession in media and possession in the 70s and everything like that and the satanic panic and the 80s and everything, it's a fantastic way to set up, you know, control. And that's what it boils down to is you're utilizing religion, you're utilizing fear as a means to control.
I don't need to say anything else. Wow. Awesome.
It's one of those things I love talking about in this podcast because it was one of my favorite like talks that Ken and I had with for Teeth, because Teeth is also very much very about religious control and everything like that, and the penis chewing is kind of horrifying, but like
Brian, you've seen Teeth, right?
Yeah, once. Just like this. I wish I could have watched this like maybe at least one more time so I could have like more deeper thoughts about it, I guess, if that's one way to go.
Anything
it takes
religion.
Me a couple of viewings to really absorb some shit sometimes, but yeah.
Oh, me too. Me too, absolutely. And then anything religious aspect, like I truly love and I truly enjoy. I went to a religious private academy for till I was like 9. And then I was heavily involved in all things church, all things religion growing up.
That's funny. I was too.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't go to a religious school or anything, but I was super, 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 super religious when I was in pretty much. I started late, but I got aggressively into it once I jumped into it. And I went to church twice on Sunday and youth group every Wednesday, and then church camps every summer for 4 years. And it was pretty much all the way through high school. And then when I joined the military and really started to see the bullshit, that's when I started getting out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But again, it's a great control tactic, especially for children. There's a great documentary. I don't remember where I watched it recently, but it's about how children are utilized to become God's warriors. I've been on this big kick about FLDS lately and the LLFDS, and for the last couple of years, it's been kind of my Roman Empire. But there's a great documentary about religion and basically weaponizing children from a religious standpoint at a young age, utilizing Bible camps and all this different stuff. And my parents were never pushy with religion, but I did go to a religious school. I did attend church service. I was at church Sunday mornings, Sunday nights. I was at church on Wednesdays. I did martial arts that was through a church organization. So at the end of it, we did Bible study. So I was involved in church every day growing up. Mm-hmm. So stuff like this, it's really funny because too, I have friends who weren't exposed to much religion at all, and we'll start discussing stuff. I'll talk about the Never Been Kissed or whatever the fuck the name of that book was. And I'll talk about, the whole I Kissed Dating Goodbye is what it was called. And I'll talk about, all of that. And they're like, what the hell are you talking about? You have deep rooted religious trauma. And I'm like, no, I don't. And they're like, yeah, you kind of do.
I hate to tell you this. You are not an individual who accepts your trauma very well. Ken has, as a person, maybe more trauma or just as much trauma as anyone I talk to on a regular day-to-day basis. I'm not saying Ken has more trauma than the chick from Martyrs, but Ken has a lot of fucking trauma. And I'm sitting there.
I don't know. I always view it as other people have it worse. You know what I mean? Don't trample on the one subject.
No, what I'm saying is your trauma besides that you have hit enough subjects and enough areas that when these things hit up and come up that I'm like, damn son, because it is very much when you start getting into things that religious trauma. I mean, I have religious trauma. I mean, Brian has religious trauma. Ken has. Anyone who goes to church in this. Let me rephrase that. Anyone who has been to church probably has some sort of religious trauma because it is a weapon to fucking destroy people. And I just want you to know, Ken, that just because other people have it worse does not mean that someone shitting directly into your mouth isn't bad, okay?
Okay, I'm with you. But the reason why all of that kind of ties into the teeth discussion, I went really over ham on teeth. I was so stoked to talk about teeth. Goes back to probably why I enjoyed this movie so much. Anytime we get to do possession movies, I'm for it. Mm-hmm. I'm so for it. I find them fascinating. I love the idea of, what exactly, is possession real? Are demons real? Are they just a human construct? Are they a control mechanism? How does it work? Is it just all mental health disorders? Where are we on the spectrum? So,
I mean, that's the thing. The things that this movie that it calls back to the Pope's Exorcist, even where there's this person really isn't possessed; they're just crazy, and other stuff like that. That's very much like, I was just watching the YouTuber I keep watching, Brandon Tenold. I think I sent you the channel, Ken, but like he watched this the Vampirilla movie from the mid 90s where they turned the comic book into a thing, and they also did the thing where it was like, oh, this guy wasn't really there's a group in the movie that like are vampire hunters, and they went out and the one guy's like, yeah, this was just another like a sociopath, or not a sociopath, like another person with mental issues that just wasn't diagnosed. And it's I think that the fact that like these horror movies and other things like will sit there and address that like, I mean, that's what like werewolves are from, right? Is like werewolves are from like people that like had all these mental issues with the moon and shit like that and go all through. So it's like, how much of like, I mean, horror, you know, connects to the psyche of a nation. And like, that's why, like, when I started this, it was like, oh, I'm going to talk about foreign horror, because you kind of get that insight into the psyche of these countries that you're not familiar with. And like me or whoever, Ken, you know, Brian, you get to look at these countries and they have these movies about, I mean, we did a lot of fucking like Australian horror in the last couple of months, and Australian horror is very similar to American horror, but like, it's just like, it seems like it's amped up a couple of notches, right? And the same kind of like, even with like French horror, is like, wah. I mean, they take things like being pregnant, being, I mean, Brian, have you seen Inside?
With Willem Dafoe?
No, Inside is the French one where the woman's pregnant and like, on the Christmas Eve, she gets a home invasion where this woman's trying to steal her baby.
There's an English version of that one as well, but the French one is.
I would rather watch the French one.
Yeah, but yeah. It was part of the French extremist movement, like that, and you know, and all that.
Sorry, somebody's after mouth.
But
sorry,
my point in all this, and I'll wrap it back around, is just like that seeing into the insight of what is. What scares a fucking society is fascinating to me, and this movie is doing that, but like from a time, you know, 45 years ago, right? So
right, yeah. Yeah,
so it's very much like, it's why one of the reasons why I feel like horror is an interesting thing, because it's just like it is that thing where like people use it to
cope,
yeah, cope and get around their fears. But it's like, I mean, even things like Get Out, I think will forever be one of the most important horror movies ever made, because mm-hmm. it's Jordan Peele doing this thing where like, guess what it's like being black in America. And I think that like, I kind of had an idea of what like they'd been saying before that movie, but that movie opens your fucking eyes, man, mm-hmm. especially as a white person in America, right? So yeah. So my whole point is wrapping this around and, you know, going on my rod tangents, that this movie does that thing of like religious horror and the like satanic panic and all that stuff. And it just does a really cool job of like doing that in an environment that I find really fascinating with those late night settings. So,
Yeah.
Like I said, the pacing for this was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I started like, normally whenever I'm watching anything, I'm like fucking around with my phone, or I'm, you know, playing like Bejeweled Candy Crush or what the fuck ever. I didn't pick up my phone once. Like, this shit was just like bam, 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 bam. Even the parts that were slow were like on the edge. Like, I loved it. It was over so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about pacing a lot here, because attention spans between at least myself and Rod are slim to none. So yeah, as soon as it was done, I was like, man, that was so good. I'm so glad I watched that. Like, I wish I would have seen that in theaters.
I do too. Yeah. It didn't even open anywhere near Kansas City, I don't think. I looked when it first dropped, and I didn't see it playing anywhere around here. I could have like, missed it too, though. So
it was like 2 weekends. It was not very long.
Yeah, it did not have a long day, which is fine.
This movie,
it made way more than they anticipated,
oh,
though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it really actually kind of killed it, because I think it made like $10 million or something like that.
Mm-hmm. It was where did it go?
By the way, this movie was
93 minutes, an hour and 33 minutes, and
didn't feel like it at all.
Yeah, well, dude, the format of this movie, like, you take the standard late night television show, which is an hour, mm-hmm. and it kind of gives it that perfect like thing where you like kind of accept that like timing, and you kind of accept the monologue and into guests and bits and something like that, and you just,
yeah, that's yeah.
And they just kind of wrap it with like the end and like the beginning, where they set up the character and they set up yeah. like the situation with the his
and
wife.
Had a prologue too.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
yeah. All that stuff where it just takes that hour set minute.
It was narrated by Michael Ironside. I love Michael Ironside.
Was it really? I didn't realize yeah. that. Yeah.
Michael Ironside did the narration.
But it gives you that kind of like, you go in and you go, well, you have an hour. You want to put like you're gonna put padding with like you know credits on the end and whatever like wraps around to that, but like it's like that thing where like
stop.
Unlike right. Terrifier 2, you go, we're gonna have this like hour setting, dude. I'm sorry, I just keep going. A 2-hour and 15-minute slasher film should not exist.
Wildly unnecessary.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
As much as I liked that movie, he could have trimmed quite a bit off of that.
And it's the thing, right? Like, because Zack Snyder, the madman that he is, madman, he just had his second Netflix movie come out, and the man has no clue how to self-edit. Like, self-editing is that man's fucking... He doesn't know how to write a script or the shit. He's very much like... He's like the action movie version of Rob Zombie. Rob Zombie, yeah. Stop writing scripts! Let someone... What the... Also... That motherfucker hasn't done anything since Monsters. What the fuck is going on with Rob Zombie? That's a side
one. He's working
line.
On something. Cannot remember. What it is.
That man, if they took the scripts away from him and let someone like able to write a script, would probably be up there with like Justin Lin with the greatest horror directors in Hollywood. But he's like, no, must write scripts. Sherry Moon must star in every movie.
Bleh.
Bleh. And it's just
listen,
like,
she was great years ago. She needs to.
No, she was great in Salem's or what the fuck is that?
I thought Witches. She was great in his Halloween movies.
She yeah. was fine in the first one.
Yep.
But yeah, but the second one kind of got weird. But
I think Lords of Salem is her best thing. I think Lords
yeah,
of
Lords
Salem.
Of Salem
I don't
was
even
great.
Like that movie, to be honest with you, though.
I think it's Zombie's best movie.
Do what?
I think it's Zombie's best movie, to be completely honest with you. Jimmy.
You might be right, but I actually really – I do enjoy the whole Firefly trilogy. I enjoy that.
The Devil's Rejects. The third one was all right. I think that Halloween 2 is actually his – like up there with his best movies that nobody gives credit because the movie is so fucking wacko. But
here's what I love about Halloween 2. Okay, the first 15 minutes are fucking amazing. First yep. 15, 20 minutes yeah. in the hospital. Fucking yeah. amazing. B, that was A, by the way. B, that movie looks fucking gorgeous.
Dude,
yeah.
It
looks beautiful.
The scenes and with fucking homeless bum Michael Myers. Michael, no, dude. You know what I love about that movie? And I'll go out.
Hobo Myers?
I love Hobo Myers.
Okay.
What I love about that movie is that he was the first one I've learned over the years gone, why would I watch this movie when I could watch Halloween? Like, there's nothing that differentiates it. So, because he was trying to fucking tailor to the studio so much, Halloween 2 is just like him going balls to the wall, bonkers, and doing something so completely different from his first Halloween, which isn't worth a shit besides the violence.
I disagree. I like this first Halloween.
It doesn't do anything besides throwing redneck trash white people with bad dialogue into
That's
the original.
Rob Zombie doesn't know how to write.
Yeah, exactly.
Care about.
Which
I
is
don't
why...
even care about Lori in his movies.
Yeah. Oh no, she especially in the second one, she's shit. But she's like what I like about the second one is that it is so off the wall bonkers. That it's not him trying to do John Carpenter, it's him making Rob Zombie in that universe, and I fucking appreciate it. We'll talk about it sometime.
I appreciate it, but different isn't always good, though.
No, it's not. But like his first one was just fucking like white trash version of the first one, which I'm like, I doesn't
do anything for me.
All of his movies are white trash.
I mean this with the utmost respect. Yeah, Rob Zombie's movies are white trash.
Yeah, I mean, they are white trash. They are white trash.
He doesn't know how to write characters that people give a shit about.
Hence, back to my original point. Stop writing your scripts, Rob Zombie.
Oh, yeah. He needs to stop writing his own movies. And as much as I wanted to love his Munsters,
I never even watched it because I heard it was real terrible.
It's not. The problem is that it's not funny. At all, like it's just,
it's
not
like it's
funny.
Trying to be funny, and it's not. It's,
exactly, and there are two things, in my opinion, that make the Munsters the most as iconic as they are. Okay, the first thing being the house, 1313 Mockingbird Lane. Yeah. Why is that only in the movie for 10 minutes? Okay,
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that movie, that house is only in the movie for fucking 10 minutes, and B, Dracula, the car. Never even in the movie. Not even in the movie.
What?
No,
which is
nowhere to be found.
Which is his.
The motherfucker wrote a song
called Dracula. Yeah.
Couldn't even put it in fucking movie.
All
right.
That man. Every single video game from about 1999 to 2006 had that song in it, and he's still like. No, I don't know. It's funny, is because we're bouncing around from all the fucking crazy shit. And it's just like this movie doesn't like. It doesn't do that. Like, it doesn't do, like, it is a perfectly written script for what it's trying to do. It's not, like, bouncing around and, like, doing
it. Well, it had
an
identity. It knew what it wanted to do.
Yep.
You know?
It
went out and accomplished it.
And then the bouncing that it did was valid. Like, the brief segment bouncing out to the camp and, like, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was valid.
Yeah.
Agreed. Well,
I mean, they're setting up this thing where it's like, and another thing that I really like about this movie, they don't hand feed you anything, right? Like the whole like him being, I feel like this movie, if you don't know anything about the whole like, Ken, you probably have like listened to enough podcasts about the fucking weird forest society. Mm-hmm. So if you guys don't know, Late Night with the Devil talks about these people going out into the California, like the red.
They're wealthy, white, political, power heavy men.
Yep.
And those camps exist. They 100% exist. Like Camp David, right? Isn't Camp David one of them?
I think
and then there's like some others.
You literally have presidents and like CEOs. It's like George Bush is like the big one that I think they often point to. And they use that. This real world thing, and they use it as a hey, guess what, this guy was part of this. And I think that like if you don't know anything about that, you probably go like, what is this? And this movie intrigues you, and you go in to see like there's some fucked up shit, because it's like, you know crazy what's his name, Alex Jones, and is like, oh my god, says insane shit. But like you start going, oh, wait a minute. Like, it's the same thing. Like, Corey Haynes was going off and saying shit about, like, the pedophilia in Hollywood. And they're, like, kind of, like...
Who? What'd you say?
Corey Haynes. Like, he got...
Corey Haim.
Oh, what? Sorry. Haynes.
Corey Feldman, actually.
Oh, is it Corey?
Yeah. Corey Haim is dead.
I mean, he
That's
was...
how young you are.
That one, Corey.
He was a Corey. But he got in trouble for like kind of talking about that shit, and then like it kind of came out with all the the Hollywood and what's his name, the one whose island, Weinstein.
Oh, you're talking about what the fuck was that dude's name?
The one who hung himself.
Epstein
Island and everything like that. And you start going, it's this kind of stuff that makes you go, what actually happens in Hollywood? What? It is. We are so far disconnected. As like,
I mean, we watch Starry Eyes. Like, there's a fun tie back into Hollywood and all the fucked up culty stuff.
Oh yeah, I mean, Starry Eyes is right up there too, right? It's like all that stuff where it's like, what? But this point movie ties into that too, and it's just like, what happens? Kitty fucking thing is such a horrifying concept, let alone like if they were saying they were like actually feeding on the blood of virgins children in like Hollywood, and just be like and you just go because this is the kind of thing you just go, just think about what these people do to have the amount of power and the amount of like the amount of influence and the amount of like money and the amount of resources they have. You just go, And you, because you say it's insane, and then shit comes out like Weinstein, and it comes out like Epstein, and you just go,
hell, just look at Scientology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, the shit that people do just to get somewhere, and then you've got Scientology just kicking in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, power is wild, man. And just think about what the lizard people do to all the... But I don't know. I just think this movie just fucking, like, nails, like, a time and place so well. And you just talk about, like, the fucking... It's got that kind of hokey late night, like, comedy, like, bit, like, where it's not, like, it's funny, but it's funny, like, in a way that, like, your grandma was going to find funny, because that's, like, the audience they have to aim at, because, like, who's watching late night television? Like, people who watch Carson and this shit, like, you're usually older and stuff like that. And, like, this movie just nails all these aspects and just does such a good job of it. And then, like, incorporating the satanic panic and then having all these other things and just, like... By the way, the little girl in this movie is fucking fantastic and creepy.
Oh yeah,
this movie's just got good performances. Period.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody does a kick ass job. Like even the like medium at first, I was like, oh my god, he's so cringy. And then when he actually moves into like, dude, I like feel this. I was like, oh. Holy shit. Like, that's amazing.
He's cringy, but he's like, he's very much like Dave.
I think that was intentional, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
He's very much like David, or what's his name? The mind freak, Chris Angel. Like
Chris
that
Angel,
kind of,
yeah.
Yeah, he's very much like that kind of stuff. Like,
my sister worked with him.
Oh,
really?
My sister worked with him when he wanted to do this magic trick, and he needed participation from the military base. And that's basically what my sister kind of is. She's like a liaison between the military and the civilian. And she had to work with them for, I think it was like a couple of weeks that they were preparing to do this magic trick. I can't remember what the trick was, but he wanted to hire her. He wanted to hire her and bring her on as part of his crew. She's just like, yeah, I can't go on the road. I have two young kids. You
it's
know,
pretty so, funny. That's, yeah. But it just nails all these things. And I think it's always funny when like a Hollywood movie, and it's not Hollywood, it's very much like a smaller Hollywood, but like, nails these things, it talks about these things, because it's just like, fuck man, it's like it's hitting kind of real worldy subjects, and it's like god damn. So I just think like we're already at like Ken's gotta leave in a couple minutes, so we'll wrap up, but like Brian, you want to do your last thoughts of this, and then Ken will do it, and then we'll wrap up.
Oh, fantastic. I love it. It's you kind of mentioned time capsule earlier, because it's not necessarily a time capsule, but an homage to what you said. And it does it when you, it feels like it has that vibe that you're sitting down and you're watching a fucking episode of Johnny Carson. And then all of a sudden shit goes wildly awry and it's fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I want to say
David Das Machian though, man.
Yeah. Dude, I want to say the one thing that really did stand out to me, because as you were talking about it, we meet. What the fuck was up with her head splitting open? And like, that was fucking weird. That was like the weirdest thing in this whole movie that had a lot of
so
weird stuff in
good.
It. Yeah, it was. She looked like a fucking like NPC from like a fire region of WoW or something like that. That's kind of what it reminded me of. Yeah. Okay, Ken, what's your last thoughts on this?
If you haven't watched it, go watch it and then watch it again. The acting is phenomenal. Definitely time capsule esque. Definitely love the low budget feel. It felt like it suited the time really well. There's lots of really good theories on the ending as well. If you want to dive into some of them, they're on the Shudder.
I'm going to,
On Shudder's subreddit, there are a ton of great theories about the ending that I definitely recommend you look into. Tweet at us if you have ideas of what you think the ending means, or what it represents, or who he was actually killing, or was he killing his wife and that's why she ended up dying? What was all of that about? Definitely look into it and check it out. It's phenomenal.
This movie does really, like, I see why it got all the praise it did when it came out. And
97% on Rotten Tomatoes from critics, man.
Yeah.
For a fucking horror.
$10.1 million gross.
Yeah.
And it only was out in two weeks. And yeah. Barely, what, like 18 fucking movie theaters or some bullshit.
It kind of reminded me of what Terrifier 2 was doing, and then like kept getting extended, right? It's like that thing where you get little... It's why like these horror movies, like when they're not, you give them 10, 15, 20 million dollars. It's like,
this movie. I don't even think this movie got that much.
I don't think so either. But like,
no, I'm saying, I highly doubt it. Like I said, just for visual effects alone, they only got 150,000.
I bet this movie cost like $4 million to make.
Yeah, 4 to 5 is what my guess would be. Yeah, so.
That would be.
Is there anything Ken you would like to watch for next week?
Well, yeah, but I can't. I want to watch Abigail.
I'll go tell you how it is. I got a date.
F movie's not taxi.
Okay, we'll figure it out and we'll tweet out.
Ooh, we should chat.
Abigail's on fmovies.to.
I don't know what that means, but I'm gonna.
I'll send you a link. I'll send you.
Yes, put it in our Discord.
I will. Okay. Please. I will do that. I will do the thing.
Everybody, go check out Brian and his other podcast that we'll make you watch. We're going to make you watch.
I hate you. We're going to make you watch.
Or we're going to. I fixed it the second time. We're okay.
Brought to you by high school bullies.
Yes. We're going to. I put a link in the fucking notes last week. So they'll be there.
You're beautiful.
And
they'll be there again this week. I love you.
And I love you. Ken, you go to continue.com and you get her stream schedule and watch all her shooting Pokemon
bullshit
with guns or whatever she does, and go to stdmotel.com and all those things. You can find me on Rod_Johnston on Twitch and Twitter and all those places, and pick up my book, The Rebirth of a Human Heart. Go buy it!
I have my copy on the counter, and then I have my copy in the States as well.
Awesome. Love it.
So, and Brian has a copy too because he's wonderful.
I have a copy,
so,
yes.
We love you guys, and we'll tweet out what we're going to watch. And Brian will probably come back again. So
I'm happy.
Hopefully.
Okay. We love you guys, and we'll catch you guys next week with whatever the fuck we end up watching. So
bye.
Bye. Brian's got a big.